The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
And there we go. Steve Voss, as always, got to do it before it's too late because we ain't got long. Good evening, all. Welcome to another installment of Protecting Your Wealth for the second hour of the National Intel Report on this Tuesday night. Jeffrey Bennett. I'm going to dispense with a lot of the usual opening stuff tonight. Time is tremendously of the essence for what I need to get out on the airwaves tonight. And it's not one of those programs that I can say, well, we'll finish it up come Thursday. We're still going to finish up this Thursday what we started last Thursday. But as for right now, too much has been put into this. It's time to listen carefully. It's time to think carefully. It's time to stop putting greed in front of your eyes. Drooling tongues. Greed tends to lead to foolish mistakes. Greed can make one blow away their life savings based on a pipe dream. No matter how good that pipe dream may be today, it is a pipe dream. Much on that another day. But over the years that I have been in the precious metals business, which is, it's over a quarter of a century professionally. Much has been offered in the way of opinion on the matter of a potential gold confiscation of the future, but too little of it is well researched or well informed and grounded in a true understanding of the laws and the regulations involved. Tonight, I'm going to be making some personal observations. Because too many gold owners or potential gold owners labor under the false presumption that high-end premium numismatic gold coins are the only way you can protect your holdings against a potential seizure. And why do they think that way? Because too many so-called rare coin firms and too many people who have been trained by them have spent years dispensing those myths. And many of my prospective clients over the years were pleasantly surprised when they discovered that there was a whole genre of pre-1933 gold coins that can be acquired at very modest premiums over the gold content and still meet the criteria for exemption. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. Understand the terms rare and unusual do not equate to pricey or expensive. You see, the economy has caused a number of people who have acquired gold from us over the years and from other people to query about a number of gold seizure scenarios. Now, the two questions that typically arise are what they can do to prevent seizures in the first place, and in the second instance, what they might be able to do if seizures are authorized, and thirdly, what type of gold coins are likely not to be seized in such an event. And, of course, they want to know why. Inquiries come from sincere believers. They don't come through via conspiracy theories, but rather in the staying power of gold in both the short time and the long run. not a measure of their sincerity, but rather concerns that are expressed. These concerns are real. These are not necessarily hard money strategists. These are not people who go off with half-baked ideas, though, that are politically motivated. And yet there are those who do that as well. Many years ago, I met a very well-dressed man. He came into an office for a company I was working with. Made an appointment. Inquired if I knew about gamma rays. Well, fair enough. I assumed it was a discussion about patents and was prepared to refer the matter to an experienced individual that could help him. We made small talk for another minute or so, and when my putative client renewed the question, then took out a hat made of aluminum foil and put it atop his own head and proclaimed, "Because they're aiming them at me right now." That was enough for wasting my time with this guy. But understand that I have no great insight to offer as to whether or not gold seizure is in the offing. But there are some interesting reasons cited by many as to why the government of this nation, and maybe the world, may need to nationalize gold again. If only for the purpose of making sure that all governments, not their system, their citizens, that their governments remain in control of the economy. And look at the stories we've shared with you over the past several months. The massive increase in gold buying by the governments in India, in Russia, in China. And so in talking with many of the people that I deal with, they question how the government could possibly enforce a gold seizure, and then they go on to tell me that no power on earth could make them give up the gold that they've hoarded to protect themselves from that dramatic end of days when, as in Eric Maria Remarque's novel, The Last Obelisk, about post-World War I Germany, assets, not money alone, have value. Well, there's some great literature out there, some of which has been written from prison. People have interesting answers. Oh, there's also stories in the old days that wasn't something that the government did. Oh, the government didn't prosecute people for declining to turn in their gold, did they? Wake up, little Susie. Wake up. No, this is not the 1957 recording by the Everly Brothers. Americans continue to have an attraction to gold, perhaps because there's so little of it around. A frequent example cited by the South African Bureau of Mines is that if all the gold in the world, from the time it was mined by the Lydians in 750 BC until today, was melted and poured into a mold the size and shape of the Washington Monument, it would not even go halfway to the top. Add all of that to an element of some economic uncertainty, it's not hard to figure out just why, for well over 2,000 years, gold has been an asset of choice. And while it remains so popular with collectors, who know that, in some cases, the numismatic value and the additional element of scarcity only enhances its worth. I mean, you decide to go get married many, many years ago. Did you go out and buy a plastic or a Teflon engagement ring or a wedding ring? It's generally silver, but in most cases it's gold. Let's spend a little bit of time trying to clear up some misconceptions as to what happened in 1933 and 34 under Roosevelt. What legal authority that Roosevelt had to order the seizure of gold or other precious metals? What evidence of compulsion was used before? And just what is so magical about this metal that makes some individuals covet it and makes governments fear it? We begin with the premise that there is simply no element of compulsion that can be employed to make a citizen turn in gold coin or bullion, especially if the coin was legal tender. But that premise is absolutely wrong. In 1933, Roosevelt, using the Trading with the Enemy Act, issued an executive order on April 5th of 1933, requiring that less than a month later, on or before May the 1st, 1933, all persons in possession or control of gold coin, gold bullion, and gold certificates, that was paper currency, redeemable in gold coin of the United States, that they required to turn them into any Federal Reserve Bank or member bank of the Federal Reserve System. Now, Trading of the Enemy Act is still around, you know. Last amended by Congress some years ago, and the general consensus in the legal community is that a confiscation could happen again in the future. We take a look at Title 12 of the U.S. Code, Section 95, which states emergency limitations and restrictions on business of members of Federal Reserve System, designation of legal holiday. That's one to watch for. It states, in order to provide for the safer and more effective operation of the national banking system and the Federal Reserve System, in order to preserve for the people the full benefits of the currency provided for by the Congress through the national banking system and the Federal Reserve System, and to relieve interstate commerce of the burdens and obstructions resulting from the receipt on an unsound or unsafe basis of deposits subject to withdrawal by check, during such emergency period as the President of the United States, by proclamation, may prescribe, no member bank of the Federal Reserve System shall transact any banking business except to such extent and subject to such regulation, limitation, restrictions as may be prescribed by the Secretary of the Treasury with the approval of the President. And it goes on and on and on, and it begins to discuss this fine not more than $10,000, or if a natural person may, in addition to such fine, be imprisoned for a term of not exceeding 10 years. Well, this is all from Roosevelt's stuff, okay? In the event of natural calamity, riot, insurrection, war, or other emergency conditions occurring in any state, whether caused by acts of nature or of man, the comptroller of the currency may designate by proclamation any day a legal holiday for the national banking associations located in that and or all states. FDR's actions in 1933 effectively seized the gold bullion and coin that was not, quote, rare and unusual. But that was not the end of it. In 1947, 13 years later, President Harry S. Truman trumped the earlier proclamations, no pun intended, Mr. Trump. Proclamation 2725, exemption of member banks of Federal Reserve System. He stated, now therefore I, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States of America, acting under and by virtue of the authority vested in me by Section 5B of the Trading with the Enemy Act of October 6, 1917, etc., 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 and by virtue of all other authority vested in me, do hereby, in the interest of the internal management of the government, proclaim, order, direct, and declare that the said proclamations of March 6th and March 9th of 1933 and executive order of March 10th, as amended, are further amended to exclude from their scope banking institutions which are members of the Federal Reserve System, provided, however, that no banking institution shall pay out any gold coin, gold bullion, gold certificates, except as authorized by the Secretary of the Treasury. Well, we're getting into a whole bunch of legal jargon that's going to slow this up. There's way too much to discuss. But I will suggest this to you. As late as 1954, there were some amendments to all of this that further describe the meaning of so-called rare and unusual coinage. Do you know that just a few years ago, Congress was still amending this section, these sections of the Trading with the Enemy Act, and they will continue to do so. It will be continue to be revisited by the government to assure that its economic and statehood survival. Which now begs the fair question, can the government grab the gold? In the short term, probably not. At least not without paying just compensation, which is small solace. But what happened in 1933 is that gold, then valued at $20.67 an ounce, was turned in and paid at face value. A double eagle, a $20 gold piece, received 20 bucks from Uncle Sam in paper or coin, but not gold bullion or gold coin. If you had a 10, you got 10 bucks worth of money. Five bucks worth of money, etc., etc. So when all of the gold that was going to be got was turned in, FDR devalued the dollar by 59%. He raised the price of gold from $20.67 an ounce to $35 an ounce. In 1971, Nixon raised the price of gold to $38 an ounce, and in 1973, it was raised to $42.22 an ounce. Now consider this for a minute. In 2011, the price of gold per troy ounce once jumped at one point to $1,900. Yet the entire American gold reserve of 8 1,133.5 tons, 261 million ounces, is still officially valued at $42.22 an ounce, which makes the American official gold reserves at about $11.019 billion, an artificially low figure. Think about that. People don't believe it, but Jeff, gold was $1,280 or $1,290 an ounce today. Yeah, it was. Paper gold. Paper gold. It's used to trade ETFs. I want 10,000 ounces of gold. Fine, here it is, paper. You never get delivery. You're never going to get delivery. There's no gold to back it. It's paper gold. The official value of gold to this day is still $42.22 an ounce. It isn't $1,280 or $1,290. That's $1,280 or $290. Why do you think the 1 ounce American Gold Eagle, which they begin to mint in the year 1986, has a face value of $50 on it? So they don't ever have to pay you more than $50. Now, we got something called the Financial Management Service. It is a bureau of the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Issues a daily Treasury statement and a monthly one as well. But the most interesting thing is that they compile, from our standpoint, is the strategy report of U.S.-owned gold, which shows what? It reflects gold bullion and gold coins owned by the federal government. It summarizes the fine troy ounces and the book value of gold held by various facilities, identifies the value of gold coins and bullion on display at the Federal Reserve Banks, coins and bullion in reserve at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and gold held by U.S. Mint facilities. The book value of gold is still $42.22 per ounce. And the information used to compile that report is received from the U.S. Mint, the Federal Reserve Banks, and the FMS, Financial Management Service. That is some spooky numbers, people. So the reality of it is this. 261 million troy ounces have a current official value of $42.22 an ounce. About $11 billion. Boost that fair market value of $1,200-$1,300 an ounce or $1,600 an ounce, whatever you want to do. Total value of a hell of a lot closer to $400 billion. That means somewhere between $350 and $400 billion in gold is presently in government hands. And billions more find themselves in the hands of the people, which would then move to the government. And on one hand, per se, the dollar could be revalued or left on its own. Either way, though, the average citizen now, as then, would lose out. You see, those who chose not to turn in their gold back in the 30s, and of course the current argument is, oh, the government lacks the resources to make it mandatory. But that executive order back then provided for severe draconian criminal penalties for noncompliance. $10,000 fine, 10 years imprisonment, or both. You got to be really unafraid or believe that the government won't prosecute. A good friend of mine who used to broadcast with me on this network once told me that there was only one prosecution that ever took place after Roosevelt's gold confiscation. Now, some say the government only tried to capture a single 1933 $20 gold piece. Not true. They went after all the 1933 double eagles. They sued or were sued by collectors who sought to retain the rarity. James A. Stack was involved in lawsuits in federal and state court. L.G. Barnard in Tennessee was, too. Both lost, even though they'd paid a lot for the coin, which was both rare and unusual. But you see, the 1933 Double Eagle wasn't anything special. What the Mint viewed it as, however, was a coin that got away, and the Mint faced some pernicious people, but each individual owner was subjected to U.S. Secret Service weapons and other searches. It was never just about the 1933 $20 Double Eagle. But there were other cases. A sampling going back to the Civil War, when the Act of July 13, 1861 allowed Treasury Regulation No. 22 forbidding all transportation of coin or bullion to any state or section declared by the President, that's Lincoln's proclamation, to be an insurrection. In 1969, an airman was sentenced to 7 years hard labor for possession and hoarding of gold coin and bullion. That can be found under U.S. versus Whitfield, 1969, all invited by the changeover. In another case, an indictment against Gus Farber, a diamond and jewelry merchant of San Francisco, charged that on or about February 21st, 1939, he willfully, unlawfully, and knowingly acquired 13 genuine $20 gold coins of the United States without a license, in accordance with the President's Order No. 6260. USCA 95, Farber versus the U.S., he was convicted. In another instance, a 206 troy ounce gold rooster was forfeited to the United States. Richard L. Graves, the owner of certain properties in Sparks, Nevada, included in those properties with the Dick Graves Nugget Casino. And as part of the operation of that establishment, Graves ran a dining room in which the specialty was fried chicken. The room was known as the Golden Rooster Room, and for various reasons, including, among others, the advancement of the interest of his business establishment, Graves developed the idea of acquiring and showing a solid gold rooster as a main object of attraction in his room. U.S. versus one gold, one solid gold object in form of a rooster. That was the name of the case. You see, in sum, there is ample authority in many cases allowing for seizure of gold coins and bullion. But what are the exemptions? How does that figure into the equation? Well, when the government nationalized gold coin and bullion so many decades ago, it gave less than 1 month for Americans to turn in their hoard, allowing an exemption for up to $100 in gold coin per person, and also permitting collectors of rare and unusual coin to maintain their collections. And so on March the 9th of 1933, the statute was amended to declare, as it remains today, that during time of war or during any other period of national emergency declared by the president may regulate or prohibit under such rules and regulations as the president may prescribe the hoarding of gold bullion, and that includes gold coinage. Now, the following day, on March 10th of 1933, acting pursuant to the newly emboldened statute, Roosevelt prohibited the removal from the United States of any gold coin, gold bullion, or gold certificates, except in accordance with the regulations. You see, Presidential Proclamation No. 2038 set the stage for all of this. Whereas there have been heavy and unwarranted withdrawals of gold and currency from our banking institutions for the purpose of hoarding, and whereas continuous and increasingly extensive speculative activity abroad in foreign exchange has resulted in severe drains on the nation's stocks of gold, and whereas these conditions have created a national emergency, and a banking holiday, of course, would have been in the national interest. And so Roosevelt goes on with this whole thing. But there is no precise, you know, and when he makes reference to rare and unusual coins, this was under Section 2, Paragraph B. There's no precise definition of what constitutes a rare coin. Executive Order 6220 recalled all gold coins then in circulation except for rare and unusual, which were subsequently interpreted to mean as any U.S. gold coin minted prior to 1933. In Coin World Almanac 1990, it was noted that there are many factors which can make a particular issue coin rare, including total mintage, the normal attrition of circulation, official and private meltings, and the level of collector interest at the time of issue. Well, one could argue that subsequent collector interest is also a factor. As to why rare and unusual was exempted, it probably didn't hurt that William H. Wooden was FDR's Secretary of the Treasury, and that the Elfin Man just happened to be a serious coin collector and allowed everyday people to keep $100 in gold coin. Remember, that was the Depression. $100 bought a lot of stuff. But also allowed the retention of rare and unusual, having a recognized special value to collectors. But it wasn't Wooden. It was actually Acting Secretary Dean Acheson who ultimately did the dirty deed. Well, there's much more to this story. And as I told our producer tonight, I'm going to have to do some editing on the fly because this is a very, very, very lengthy dissertation. But there's a little bit more to the story of Mr. Wooden. Yes, Wooden was a coin collector. But Roosevelt was a stamp collector. Wooden's approach to Roosevelt was, Mr. President, I want you to put this in terms of rare and unusual as relates to your stamp collecting. What were to happen if you'd made a decision to make it illegal to maintain ownership of your stamps and had to turn them in? No matter their value, no matter their financial value. Treasury Secretary had the right to issue regulations governing private gold ownership, including coins. And in that substance was that gold coin of recognized special value to collectors of rare and unusual coin may be acquired and held, transported within the United States, or imported without the necessity of holding a license therefor. Such coin may be exported, however, only in accordance with the provisions of Section 54.25 of Title 31 of the Code of Federal Regulations. You see, here were the initial provisos. Gold coin minted prior to April 5, 1933 is considered to be of recognized special value to collectors of rare and unusual. Gold coin made subsequent to April 5, 1933 is presumed not to be of recognized special value to collectors of rare and unusual coin. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, the 1954 codification broadened and clarified the definition of, quote, recognized special value to collectors of rare and unusual coin to any gold coin minted prior to 1933. Yes, there were other minor changes made over the years. There were changes made within Roosevelt's own executive order. 1954 is one of those that people just did not pay attention to. And it became important. It is what has allowed us over the years. I remember 1995. I was working with a company at that time, long since out of business, Viking International Trading. And many of you who have been around listening for a long time will remember that name. It was at that time everybody was offering $5 and $10 and $20 gold pieces, certified this and raw that, etc. Everybody wanted $5 gold pieces. They wanted smaller pieces, but there was a problem with them. They tended to be very expensive for roughly a quarter ounce piece. What I'd been doing most of my life as a collector of rare and unusual coinage, as it were, was buying foreign gold pieces. Now, I'm not taking you down that path tonight. It's something I'm more than willing to talk to any of you about at any time, and we may get there another night, but tonight's not tonight. There are charts I can look at that compare recalls and meltdowns and the number of ounces the government owned and how much that they claim its value is, etc., etc. When we come back from the break, we're going to go a little bit further with this. And then we're going to go even somewhere else. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
It's now or never. Come hold me tight. Kiss me, my darling. Be mine tonight. Tomorrow.
You've got to be sitting there saying, what in the world is he playing? My friends, it's going to be now or never very soon. I could sit there and spend the next hour going over a number of phenomenal coin collections that were developed and amassed over the years. Unbelievable people. People who owned quarter eagles, old $5 Liberty and Indian gold pieces that they began collecting prior to 1933. Each of those pieces had been produced at a time when gold had been valued at $20.67 an ounce. A gold piece contained only $19.99 worth of gold. So while it may have been illegal for most Americans to own gold, that did not stop entrepreneurs like Louis Eliasberg of Baltimore, Harold Barefoot, a New York attorney who had represented Warner Brothers Pictures, from holding gold. It also didn't stop John J. Pittman, then a salaried chemical engineer from Rochester, New York, who worked as an employee at the Eastman Kodak Company. Each of them exploited that single loophole that permitted coin collectors, actually those who acquired so-called rare and unusual, to keep up to 5 specimens of each date and mint mark without being in violation of the executive orders that otherwise recall gold coinage to the melting cauldrons of the 1930s. Well, they weren't all melted. A lot of them got stuck on a ship, the Ile-de-France, and shipped over to Europe and sold off as complete specimens. That's how these pieces we've had access to over the years have survived. But think about some of the stuff that Bearford bought. Gold pieces that he paid maybe $10.20 for with a $5 face value. He also collected English coins and non-U.S. gold coins. And some years ago, when he died, 242 pieces that originally cost him $13,832 over a period of about 15 years. But in 1978, when he died, 1978, and there was no great value on gold at that time, sold for $1.2 million. And there's many stories like this that are well-worn. But we don't have time tonight to get into Elias Berg, one of the greatest coin collectors ever known. It is astounding. $5, what we call half eagles from the Pittman collection, sold for massive amounts of money. Just unbelievable. Now, here's the reality. With the FDR gold recall came a devaluation of the dollar, which meant that the price of gold was raised from $20.67 an ounce to $35. Well, since each $20 gold piece now contained $33.86 worth of gold, a significant advantage was attained by those collectors who had retained their coins. And so, as we mentioned earlier, under the signature of Dean Acheson, the then acting Secretary of the Treasury, the document entitled Gold Regulations Prescribed by the Secretary of the Treasury under the Executive Order of August 2833 relating to hoarding, export, and earmarking, they became a little bit more sincere about what was meant by a collectible. You and I, as the law just stated, could own 5 different variations of the same coin with the same mint mark, in different conditions, in a circulated fine or an extra fine or an AU or a BU condition or a pristine proof, whatever the case may happen to be. And we could do this. And then it came out somewhat later, 1954. All foreign gold coins minted 1934 through 59, if genuine and of legal issue, are now considered to be of such recognized special value to collectors in rare and unusual coins as to warrant the issuance of a general license for their importation into the United States under Section 54.2E of the Gold Regulations for numismatic purposes. That was the wrap. It then meant that importation of coins made prior to 1960 were considered rare and unusual and thus now exempt under the 1933 and 34 executive orders. And it would be highly unlikely the government would put somebody to his or her detriment after giving it an okay, which is why even now such importance is placed on these coins. And so now we have the modern era in gold ownership. And you and I have the ability to go out and buy 1 ounce gold American Eagles. But you see, these are not truly legal tender coins. These coins were never minted with a purpose of being able to spend them in a store. Oh, I'm sure you could find somebody that'd be more than happy to do some trading. Okay. But the fact of the matter is that they are a bullion coin. They were never meant as legal tender. I don't believe there's anywhere on those coins that they say legal tender because they are bullion. Once again, why does a $50 1 ounce gold American Eagle only say $50 on it when today gold is $1,280 or $90 an ounce? Because the official value of gold is still $42.22. Think about the British Sovereign, which we offered you several weeks ago, once the equivalent of £1 sterling or $4.86 when gold was worth $20.67 an ounce. Today, I don't know, $3.50, $3.60, $3.70 a piece. The ubiquitous 20 franc coin used in many countries under a different name, the 20 lira in Italy, the Vrinelli in Switzerland, and so on and so forth, the Swiss 20 franc.
once was worth $3.73 when gold was priced at $20.67. Today they're worth over $300 a piece. And so, why do we spend the time to share all of this with you? There are options out there for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. I own a lot of foreign gold because I can afford to buy small amounts at various different times. But there's some bottom lines here to consider. There are powerful interests that do not want you to plan for gold coin retirement. They want your investments in a different media. They want it in paper so they can devalue it, so they can stick their greasy little hands in there and put their gloms on it. But the same is true if you want to buy gold bullion or gold coin. It may be that gold seizure or the fear of it is how they move your investment choice. Or could it simply be what naturally occurs in a Darwinian selection of investment vehicles, the so-called survival of the fittest? But regardless, what is clear to me is that if you are serious about using gold coins as an investment vehicle, although I like to refer to it as an umbrella vehicle, whether they are French roosters, Swiss Vernelli, British sovereigns, American quarter eagles or full eagles, double eagles, then you need to consider this gold bullion versus rare and unusual gold coin fits into your financial strategy. And that is where the now or never comes in. And that is exactly how I mean it. It was a little bit of a joke when I put this together tonight and said to Michael, hey, pull out the old Presley song, It's Now or Never. Let's talk to you a little bit about U.S. $20 Liberty gold coins, commonly referred to as a double eagle. Produced for over a half a century, minted from 1850 to 1907. The $20 Liberty gold coin is one that had an extremely high face value for its day. At the time, the coin's face value more closely coincided with the spot price of gold. But now the inherent value of these coins in gold is far greater than ever before. And if you combine this with the fact that these are not the easiest coins to acquire, then you have yourself a great so-called collector's item. Nowadays, there are collectors from all over the world. Now, keep in mind, everything we've just shared with you these first 40 minutes, let's use the term collectors in very loose terms, in quotation marks, if you will. Collectors from all over the world do everything they can to get their hands on these coins. Getting their hands on them is not enough. Most collectors set forth that only the most well-preserved pieces will be able to be added to their collections. But that's not the way the law reads, does it? This somewhat large coin is interesting because it was one of the first of its kind, a coin that had a face value higher than most others ever produced in the U.S. Mint at that time. And for that reason, it's a bit more special than your average gold coin from the same era. But when it comes down to it, just about every year and every type of $20 Liberty gold coin is sought after by collectors and by survivalists and people who understand the law as it is written and has been amended as relates to what legally can be privately purchased, privately sold with no records ever required. Ever. You go to sell a $20 gold piece at a coin shop or a pawn shop, there is no legal reason. They don't need your social security number, nothing. It has no bearing. Apart from all of this, you'll find various versions and types that don't have many remaining on the market. They'll be the ones that sell for exorbitantly high prices. 1891 Carson City will sell for no less than $8,000 to $9,000, even in the poorest condition. And what about the future value of these kind of $20 Liberty gold coins? Irrespective of spot, the future value of a coin, any coin, is something that is never easy to determine. Anyone who speculates on that and tries to give you a figure is selling you a bill of goods. These coins have been on the market for so long that they're only ever going to be fewer, which naturally tells us the price per coin will increase over time. And while it may be nearly impossible to to give an exact future valuation to a specific coin, it's safe to say it will only ever be worth more as time moves forward. And knowing this, now is the absolute best time for you to make a purchase of these amazing coins. Now, later on tonight, much of what I've shared with you tonight will be posted at Kettle Moraine Precious Metals. I want you to see what this coin is. I want you to get the history of it. And here's why. Oh, and let me suggest this. The price that you might be asked to pay for a $20 Liberty Gold coin, in many cases, can be quite high. And it's because the coin, regardless of its condition, has gold content that makes it incredibly valuable. Add this to the fact that the coins themselves are scarce. It's easy to say why you will rarely find these coins selling for less than $1,200, even in very poor condition. The poorest of the poor will generally sell for prices that approach $2,000 each. But not at Kettle Moraine Precious Metals nor at RBN. You see, my friends, the reason these coins are so expensive is due to a combination of the fact that they're particularly interesting coins due to their face value, their gold content, the fact that so few of them truly, in the scheme of things, are still available in the market today. So what we're going to talk about in specific is the Type 3 U.S. $20 gold coin. This is a big, bold, gorgeous coin. Minted from 1877 to 1907. In 1907, they were still minting the $20 Liberty, and it was replaced that year by the St. Gaudens. I've done a fair amount of research today, and we're talking about research of legitimate dealers, albeit somewhat high-priced. The coins that we're going to make available to you tonight, if you want one, you can buy one. If you want 20, I'll get you 20. But I've found prices out there between $1,475 per coin, $1,500 per coin, and up. And up. Lowest price I saw out there from a legitimate dealer, a recognized dealer, not some fly-by-night guy that's working in the alley because he probably stole it anyway. The lowest price I found was $1,475. I have the ability to pick up for you tonight. These are extra fine condition coins. Nope, I take that back. I take that back. Let me double check. I forgot one place to make a note. I know I made it somewhere. Yes, these are extra fine condition coins. The details there, it's not all worn down. Sure, it's got nicks. It's had some expenditure. I can get you on uncirculated ones. You will pay a slightly higher price. I can pick these up. You can pick them up. We're offering these tonight, not at the $1,475 figure, not at $1,500 per coin, not at $2,000 per coin and up, $1,390 per coin. And that's for 1 to 9 coins. These are historical. These were minted 1907 and older. These particular specimens are not considered rarities, but they are historical and they are collectible. And this much I can say to you. You want to buy one coin? You're going to get the date of our choice. If you buy 4 coins, 5 coins, 9 coins, guaranteed I'm going to get you a mixed date selection, which just creates the appearance of a coin collection. That is what exempts you from reporting. That is what exempts you from confiscatory policy. If you think this is the only country in the world that only ever did this, you got another thing coming. We're just not that special, people. $1,390 per coin. Now, if you purchase 10 coins or more, the price drops to $1,390 $78 per coin. Not a big saving at $12, but that's what we're able to do. As we have done with our other orders in the past, there is a flat $10 shipping per order. Whether you buy one coin, 10 coins, 20 coins, doesn't matter. Flat $10. There's two ways to get a hold of us. And don't call me right now because I can't answer the phone, because I'm on the air, at least live tonight. You can call me at 623-327-1778. 623-327-1778. You can also send me an email, because if I get busy tonight, I'm not going to be able to take all the calls at one time. You can send me an email, gold, G-O-L-D, at kettlemoraineprecious.com. You go to the website, you can just click on it over in the right lower right-hand column. It's got our mailing address, it's got our phone number, and it's got a, in red, it's got our email address. Kettle is spelled just like a pot and a pan in a kettle. Moraine is spelled M-O-R-A-I-N-E, pronounced the way they discuss the weather in the south side of Chicago. Moraine, there's going to be Moraine, except it's with an E on the end of it. Kettle Moraine Precious Metals, gold at kettlemoraineprecious.com. Or go to the website, click through. You want to see what this coin looks like? Take a look in our vault. You'll be able to see a photograph of it. We will endeavor to get this posted tonight so that you can see the breakdown. You can give us a call, but be prepared to payment by either overnight check, mail out tonight for overnight delivery, or a bank wire transfer. I can also arrange for you to be able to make a direct deposit into our account at Chase, and that is the accounts of Kettle Moraine. We are the official precious metals brokerage for Republic Broadcasting Network. We try to get this done as quickly as possible. I've got three orders that are kind of floating out there from a week or so ago, and I need to get a hold of these clients to find out what in the world's going on. You can't place an order and then just drop the ball. If you decide you want out, you got to let me know. Some suppliers, I can get you out of it. Others, I cannot. Typically, once you've made a commitment, you know what you've got to convert. You know what you've got to spend. We need to move forward with it. I love the old $20 gold pieces. We can get you mixed dates. That's kind of cool. You know, I was looking at one date today that I was surprised to find out that both the Philadelphia and the San Francisco mints were being offered at the same price, which is a little unusual. San Francisco usually brings a tiny bit more than Philadelphia, but that's good. That's for your benefit. And who knows, maybe next time we come back with some $10 liberties or some fives or some two and a halves at some point in time. But keeping in mind, the smaller they get, they typically, their cost per ounce starts jumping up there. This is just not that much more than buying a 1 ounce gold American Eagle. And you know the cool thing about it is? They're non-reportable. They're non-confiscable by law. That's where you want your security. That's where you want your safety. That's why we try to put the work and the efforts into bringing this together. I know I've spoken very fast tonight, which makes it difficult for some of you folks to follow me. Are you kidding? I can't even follow myself. But the reality is, I could have done a second hour here tonight. There is so much information to put out here, but maybe some of that information is pure minutia. $20 U.S. Liberty gold coins, the Type 3 variety, minted from 1877 to 1907. These are for extra fine condition specimens. If you want uncirculated pieces, no, they're not going to be perfect, because there's different degrees of uncirculated due to bag marks and things of that nature. But yes, if you want uncirculated, I can certainly get them for you. It's going to cost you somewhat more money. Not a lot, but it will cost you some more money. Maybe another $100 a specimen, something of that nature. Is it that important? The amount of gold is, to be honest with you, pretty much the same. They've not been worn down. They were not 4/9 fine gold. They were 90% gold contact. They had hardness factors, so they would not wear down. That was the beauty of the American Eagle. But it was a coin that was meant to be spent, to be circulated back in the day when your grandfather and your great-grandfather could have walked into the bank, cashed his check for $40 and said, give me 20 of it back in a gold coin. That's what life was like in the old days. So you still want to gamble with your carrots and your dinars and your itsy bitsy digital stuff? It's okay to do some gambling. I read a piece the other day where somebody had put in, if they'd have put $2,000 into a particular new cryptocurrency, in just several weeks later, it was worth $1.1 million. No, it wasn't. It wasn't because the guy didn't cash it in and take the money. And then last week we talked about the $300 million worth of cryptocurrency that, due to a mistake, disappeared overnight and is not recoverable. Nothing wrong with gambling with a certain amount of it, people. But I want something of real value in my hand. I'm not trusting somebody else running a computer. I'm not trusting my bank to even not lose the key overnight where they can't even open the bank up in the morning. I'm not trusting the fact that one day I may go to write a check and it's unacceptable. Nobody will take them. Check guarantee cards? Forget it. They went to debit cards. It's all going to digits. I want something of value. Whether gold goes up, whether gold goes down, it's going to maintain a value. These tend, without outrageous pricing, to be able to take care of you. Why do you want to spend $1,475 or $1,500 to buy the same exact thing you can get from Kettle Moraine and Republic Broadcasting tonight for $1,390? Or get 10 or more and the price drops to $1,378. That's one hell of a buy. I cannot tell you how long it's been since I've actually gone on the air and offered any coins of this type. Probably 5 years, maybe longer. And the last time I did it, I think there were $5 liberties. I don't think I've offered a 20 in years. The timing is absolutely right. 15 years ago, you'd have paid a good $400, $300 to $400 more to get one of these than you would have a 1 ounce gold eagle. They're so close right now. Go for it. Buy the privacy. Buy the security. I got three granddaughters. Where do you think my future money is going to go to? It's all going to them. I'm not leaving it laying around on paper for the tax man to cometh and grab it. We've got art that goes to the kids and the grandkids. The only problem with art is the house catches on fire. Poof, it's gone. If the gold burns and melts, the gold's still there. Just changes shape. So we learn. We lose a couple of shekels. The gold is still there. You don't have to worry about your account getting hacked or having somebody push the button and lose your stuff. Call us tonight, 623-327-1778. Send me an email. I'll get back with you. Make sure your name and your phone number is in that email so I can call you back. And I'll do my best to get back with you tonight. Thanks for being with us. This has been one fast-moving, hard-hitting show. Lots more coming up on RBN tonight. We'll talk to you, and you better make it soon. It's now or never. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.